pew, 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 pew.
Captain, we're under cyber attack. Eh, that's cool. We're protected. Hi, guys, and welcome to this episode of Taste of Premier. Today we're going to talk about cybersecurity, especially in the wake of some of today's recent developments. I have Paul Brunel with me. Paul, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Lex. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Fantastic. As you mentioned, there's a lot of cybersecurity in the news, so there's certainly no shortage of press to help drive our business these days.
Yeah, there is. There is a lot of cybersecurity news lately. Hey, so I just have one question for you. Is that something that we could have prevented?
Well, you know, prevent is always a tricky word, Lex, but certainly there's recommendations that we make to all of our customers about ways to improve their security posture. And fortunately, because a lot of our customers' critical infrastructure runs on Microsoft, we're really best suited to help them do that.
Awesome. By the way, how long have you been at Microsoft?
I've been here 8 years now, across a variety of roles, started in EPG and have been in services now for the last three, almost four.
Cool. That's awesome. All right. Well, I understand that you have a presentation for us today.
I do. What I thought I'd do, Lex, is just kind of take you through a little bit about what we're seeing out in the wild today. As you mentioned, we're seeing quite a bit. And then talk to you a little bit about why that trend is growing and going to continue, and then why it's important to Microsoft and also what we can do to really help our customers improve their security posture and protect their Microsoft investment.
Awesome. Yeah, you're not the first cybersecurity guest that we've had on. We had some of the dev folks on, and their show was just awesome. So I can't wait. I'm very excited to see what you have for us.
Well, no pressure then. We'll see what we can do.
None whatsoever.
So, Lex, you mentioned retail headlines in the start of the show, and this slide speaks to some of the headlines that we're seeing in healthcare. And literally, we have one of these for every single industry. There are no industries that are immune from this recent wave of cybercrime. And what we find is that each one contains unique and valuable information that somebody has a reason to try to get. So some of the things that we're seeing now with the new cyber risk is just an astronomical ROI for the folks that are perpetrating these crimes. And the reason for that is much of the value that organizations have, and really in the world, is now digital. And with that, there's just tremendous incentive for people to figure out how to go after that digital value. Now, as I mentioned earlier, really we're seeing industry-focused attacks in every industry, and we find that every organization is at risk. And really that's just based on our methodologies, our processes, some of our architecture, being based on a time where everything in the world was not connected to everything else. Additionally, we find that the attackers are much more sophisticated than they used to be. Based on that ROI, they're well-financed, well-run, highly performant organizations that really will take the time, sometimes months, to work their way into a target account. And then they'll also take months and sometimes years to generate the value from that. So they're very persistent, they're very patient, and they're highly skilled. The last point is that typically we see credential theft, which is something that's been around for a long time, but still the ubiquitous use of it is something that's prevalent right now. And the reason for that is that due to these older architectures and infrastructures, folks can compromise a single machine and then use that to traverse across the organization in something called pass the hash attack until they find someone that has domain admin account privileges or some type of elevated privileges, and then they use that to go after the targeted information.
Yeah, you know, pass the hash has been around for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really nothing new here. It's just, again, it's more sophisticated use, more social engineering type methods to go after it, and really just using it as part of a persistent attack, and something that we've seen now really consistently across a number of different industries and a number of different attacks. So based on these realities, right, people think, you know, there's a lot of niche organizations that are popping up to address this. And really, Microsoft has a fundamentally a different approach to how we approach this market. And that's because, you know, we build most of the software that our organizations run on. Most of where the digital value exists lives in a Microsoft world. And so it's really imperative for us as an organization to be able to help our customers address this. Some of the things that we've done have been in close collaboration with our key enterprise customers. As you can imagine, over the years, when something happens to a customer, of course, they typically call their TAM and look for us to help them. Over that time period, we've developed a number of teams that just travel the globe and are really highly skilled at being able to assess and contain the situation, as well as help them strategically address the underlying reasons for the compromise. Another key reason why we're so uniquely positioned in this space is that we just have a unique footprint in the environment, and that gives us a different kind of visibility into what the landscape looks like. And then finally, I'll mention that we're strategically aligned with our customers. Our only objective is to help them realize business value from their Microsoft investment. And most of the startup type companies that we see in this space are really being built for someone to buy them. And so they have a very different agenda than what we do. We're just there to protect them, help them get value from their Microsoft investment, and leave them in a better place than where they started. So Lex, as I mentioned, we really have a unique global footprint. And the thing that we're doing is bringing that information to bear for our enterprise customers. And we do that in such a way that it separates out the signal for the noise and just lets them know when there's an issue that they need to develop and be proactive about. One of the things that I hear when I visit with CISOs around the country is that they're just drowning in data. And so, you know, they might find an attack, they might be able to go back and look at some systems, kind of 20/20 hindsight, and be able to find something that had they had enough eyes, had enough of a correlation engine, had enough heuristics, they could have put something together and maybe protected themselves from that. But the amount of information that they have for the amount of people that they have and the uncorrelated amount is just too much for them to process. And so one of the things that we've developed from protecting ourselves and some key government agencies and critical infrastructure around the world is this unique way to bring this wide, broad base of sensors together into focused telemetry for our customers. Now, some of the things that sit behind that are obviously our access to the folks that have the OS source code, reverse malware engineers, the people who put out patches. Obviously, we have the incident response team that I mentioned earlier, and some of the other pieces that we can put together to help them more from a strategic level to build out and improve their security posture. But this is really something that only Microsoft is in a position to do, and our customers that are adopting this are just finding tremendous value from this.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, you don't often think about what that unique footprint that Microsoft has can bring to a very specific problem, but in this case, the guy's been working on this for a number of years, and the results that we're seeing are truly outstanding. We had a customer who did an internal test that was unannounced to them, and despite all the other tools that they have on their network, this particular one, which we call the Microsoft Threat Detection Service, is the only thing that was able to pick it up. The great thing is we operate this as a subscription, so it's on their, they can put it as part of their Premier agreement. It's easy for them to get access to, and again, as I mentioned, because we offer it as a service, we just give them proactive advice and actionable information that they can use to protect their network.
Cool. Tell me about some of the offerings.
Sure. So you can see a little bit of the highlights here of what we have, and there's some more around this, but I like to try to keep it simple just for people to understand. We've got a new one now that it's actually a new version of one that we've had that's called the Microsoft Security Risk Assessment. And this really looks at a customer's Active Directory environment, some of their critical infrastructure, a lot of their policies and procedures that they have in place, and gives them specific recommendations about how to prioritize their investments and ways they can improve. It's a great way for customers to start to understand what their landscape looks like, understand the risks that are inherent in their landscape, and then also how they could address those. And again, that's available through Premier. We're going to have a promotion coming up around that, where we'll really be getting the word out to our customers around that. The second thing that we do, I mentioned those incident response teams. They're literally world-renowned teams. Everywhere that they go, customers cannot say enough good things about these guys. And what we found was, I think I mentioned to you before, a lot of customers have been compromised for a year or more. And the way they find out they're compromised is they get a phone call from the FBI or some other organization that says, hey, we're seeing your data in places where it probably doesn't belong. And so what we developed was a way to bring in that incident response team in a proactive manner and say, you know, if you need to answer to your board and say, you know, can you verify that we're not compromised, how do you do that? It's a really hard thing to do. So we have this group that comes in. They just go on a hunting mission. They look for the indicators of compromise that we see in other things. They know the attacks that are prevalent in their industry, and they can really bring that focus, that tool set, and that independent view to the customer. And so this is also available on Premier, and we have customers that will literally do this once a year, sometimes twice a year, just to get a health check on where they are, to understand what their baseline looks like, and to make sure that there's not something that they're missing. The third piece that we have is around, as I mentioned, the Microsoft Threat Detection Service, and that's something that's a subscription. We just leverage components that are actually built into the OS, and it's very easy for them. We host it for them. We just deliver a report, and of course, if we find something that needs to be addressed right away, we just call them. And again, customers just find this to be extremely valuable. It's got great insight into what's going on in their network, but the important thing is it provides that context of that global sensor to say, hey, this is something that we've only seen in one or two other places, so therefore it's probably targeted to you and is something that we should prioritize from an action perspective, as opposed to kind of the more garden variety malware that you see on a daily basis. So that one's extremely popular and as I mentioned, a great way to bring value to your customers. Now, on the other side of the equation, there's some things that we do from the MCS side of the world, and that's really around how do we improve their architecture and their processes from a more strategic or holistic viewpoint. One of the things we do there is something called Credential Theft Mitigation Suite, and that's a holistic group of processes, architecture, and technology that looks at how we mitigate that most common threat that we see. And so the way we structure that is it's a Microsoft Consulting Services engagement. We literally go through and look at each of the areas that we've seen from the incident responses that we've been on and address those through both architecture and process. And then just two more here. One is around secure development lifecycle. I think everyone at Microsoft's very familiar with the work that we did internally a long, long time ago with TWC around how we develop secure code. And we've got the team of folks that actually did that, like Michael Howard, as an example, is on the team. And they help our customers do that. So right now we have a lot of customers that are in, say, financial services is a very common one, where they've got consumer-facing websites, and they want to be sure that those websites are secure. And they want to implement those same development policies that we do to make the Microsoft code secure for their web properties and their customers. And then finally, we have strategy and planning. And these are cybersecurity architects. Think of them as a cyber ESP. And they can really help their customers to understand how strategically they can address things. And these guys look at things like currency, prioritization of investments, risk management and assessment, areas that you know typically are more strategic in nature that help our customers up their game and really be able to answer to the board about what steps they're taking to improve their cybersecurity. So Lex, usually in there when I mention something around currency, people get excited because, of course, within Microsoft, Windows XP is a kind of a predominant issue that we run across. And I wondered if you had any questions around that.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I want to make sure that everybody knows that each of these offerings is something that you can engage your TAM for, and we can put you in contact with the right folks if that's something that you guys are interested in out there. You just mentioned XP. You know, everybody, I think, should know by now We did a show on it a few months back. So everybody should know that XP is at end of life, right? After April, XP will no longer receive security updates. It's had a great run, but it's really an old and antiquated OS. Not so much from a user interface standpoint, but from an architecture standpoint. And one of those points is going to be security, right? XP isn't nearly as secure as Windows 7 is. And Windows 7 is really good, but Windows 8.1 is more secure. So, as we roll out new and exciting operating systems, we are always upgrading how we handle cybersecurity in each of those, correct?
Absolutely, Lex. You hit on some great points there. Certainly, we're starting to see a shift in the marketplace where the folks that are responsible for cybersecurity are now driving some of those currency conversations. And so we've got two customers right now that I can think of, one that's in the insurance industry and one that's in the financial services industry, where they're actually revisiting their refresh cycles, the currency not only of XP in their desktop, but also their servers and their database environments, just based on the cybersecurity risk that they're facing. And so I think, you know, this is the new norm, right? Being able to articulate the business value for driving currency across those platforms is something that, you know, a lot of organizations have struggled with. And as you mentioned, the improvements in security continue to just grow by leaps and bounds. You know, if you think about XP, some of the things that were around back when XP was developed, it's almost like you're protecting your organization with one of those old skeleton keys as opposed to some type of digital lock. So things have changed a lot. You mentioned 8.1. 8.1 has some specific things in there around pass the hash. So we're continuing to evolve the product set to match what we see in the marketplace. And certainly we're seeing cybersecurity be a critical part of refresh plans for our customers.
Yeah, and it's not just OSs, right? It's also applications that you have installed.
Absolutely. You know, it's something that now that they really have to look at all of this as a process instead of an event. And that's relatively new in the cybersecurity space. Certainly in the last, 10 years, most of the professionals thought of it as a series of tools that they would install, and then, those tools would be updated and they would be done. And as we've seen the threats change and evolve, that kind of thinking just doesn't work anymore. And so looking across your entire portfolio, understanding what the risks are, and then being able to proactively mitigate those is absolutely critical.
Yeah. And one more point to add is that, it's not just Microsoft OSs, right? There are lots of different OSs and platforms out there. And all somebody really needs is an ingress point, right? Some open door that they can push their way through.
For sure. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Lex, because many of the things that we're talking about in terms of attack vectors and ways that folks are working are really not OS related. They're more things that we did to architect a connected computer world. So as an example, pass the hash is not a Microsoft problem. It's a, it's a single sign-on problem. Because what happens in that respect is anytime you store a password so that people only have to sign on once and you're able to carry those credentials from site to site, your computer has a copy of that hash. And the problem is that folks, once they gain control of that computer, can steal that hash, and then they're able to gain access to those other systems. So that's not a Microsoft problem. It's not an Active Directory problem. It's really a problem with how single sign-on was originally architected. And so we've got some things that were changing in the underlying technology, but addressing the architecture and process part of that is also key.
Awesome. Hey, Paul, is there a website that people can go to learn more?
Absolutely, Lex. I can just look at Microsoft.com/cybersecurity, and we post tons of information there. We do a incident report on a regular basis that highlights what we're seeing from vulnerabilities and how we address those. There's just a ton of resources there around what customers can do to be proactive to protect themselves in this from this new cyber threat.
Awesome. Well, guys, that's about it for this this episode. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And again, you know, I've thanked Paul, but I'm going to thank him again. Thanks, Paul. If you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to anyone at Microsoft that you work with, technical account manager, et cetera, MCS. And also, don't forget, Microsoft.com/cybersecurity. Bye, guys. That's your Taste of Premiere.